Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We have a fantastic show to be sharing with you today. And doing that, we have two incredible artists joining us. We have the playwright Nia Aquila Robinson and the director Cesare Dolfa. They're here to talk to us about the Hearth's presentation of Push Party. It's happening June 7th through the 23rd at Theater Lab, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting theaterlabnyc.com. In just the short blurb on the press release, this show is fabulous. It's a brilliant world premiere. So let's bring on the experts on the piece. Nia, Cesare, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Thank you.
I'm so excited that you're both here. I can't wait to learn more about this piece. So why don't we jump right in? And Nia, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what Push Party is about?
Of course. Push Party is about friendship in community rooms. And a community room, the community room that I'm referring to is ones that can be found in recreational centers, that can be found in apartment building complexes. And those are the places that I've spent much of my adolescence into my teens, into my adulthood, whether it be a celebration, whether it be repast, whether it be a birthday party. It literally, all of the events have span so many in terms of what I've experienced. And so I was really inspired by that location because I feel like in my culture, we have spent so much time there. And then on top of that, I think there's something really special about Harlem and Harlem's community rooms, to be more exact. And so it is a play that explores friendship that has grown over decades, whether you've grown apart, you've grown closer in certain ways, and how the neighborhood of Harlem itself is impacted by poverty, is impacted by folk who are unhoused and housed, and how that both of those dynamics can influence this one community room.
That is an amazing story. Story. I mean, I love that. I love that idea of community, especially the community that you have selected, I guess, to kind of feature. That's so brilliant. So building on that, Nia, as the playwright, where did you come up with the idea for this piece?
I think I came up with this idea. It might be too personal to say publicly. So what I will say is that the idea came from what I've witnessed growing up in Harlem. And the idea also came from me working at the Harlem YMCA and the friendships that I made. And then also, I think a tale about the location is so interesting and so intimate that I cannot wait to try to recreate a community room within a theater space.
That is wonderful. Cesare, I want to bring you in now as the director. How is it you came upon this great piece?
I've worked with Nia in a really incredible iteration before we worked together on this play. And we actually worked together at the Broadway Advocacy Coalition. And that's where I met Nia. Long story short, I think when Nia wrote this play, Nia reached out to me and asked me if I would be interested. When I read the play, I was like, firstly, Nia, I feel seen by you. Thank you for knowing that I am the person to direct the show. And it just felt so closely aligned to my politics around womanhood and sisterhood and friendship and all of that. So that's how I kind of started working on the play with Nia. So we did a workshop before this, right, Nia? We workshopped this play a little bit before. So this is kind of how, at least with this stint, Nia, this is my second iteration and our second one, right? Working on the play?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That is fantastic. I love that. I love the personal connection you have found in this show as well, which I feel like is going to make your fingerprints that much more visible on the work. So that's wonderful. We are just about a month away from the show's opening. So I know we're a bit out, but what has it been like developing the piece so far, Chess Ray?
This has been such an exciting and radical piece to work on. So, I think about when I was pregnant, when I had my kid, my baby. My doula said to me one day, because I went to this pregnancy workshop that they make you take, to go give birth, and there was a lot of women sharing their birth stories. And my doula said to me, there's not a lot of places where women who or people who have uteruses and who are pregnant can share birthing stories. There's no real place where we can process how we give birth and what that birthing process look like. There's no place that we can really go to, especially postpartum. And so I think this play is so exciting because it allows us to really think about maternal health. This is a very radical piece, okay? There's some real commentary here about being unhoused and all of the, I think, intersectional issues which we deal with in Harlem as a community that a lot of marginalized community deal with. I think Nia did a great job of highlighting such an intersectional way of how our community is shaped and formed. And so I could talk about this for days, but let me pause there. That's all I'm going to say for now. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. I love hearing that. That's so wonderful. Nia, I want to come back to you to start this next question. And I would love to know, what is the message or thought you are hoping the audiences will take away from Push Party?
I think what makes this universal is it is a discussion around class and access. And I think that it is one in which I don't want to generalize, but I believe everyone has experienced within one New York City block, whether that be a painful experience because there are folk who want to reach out and help, and then vice versa on the idea that people ask for help too. And what do we choose to engage with? What levels do we feel we're accountable to engage? And I think that is a question that more than likely we are asked once a day to help someone on a New York City street. Now, what we choose to do with that is what we choose to do with that. That only remains with you and how you move about your day. But I think that is most likely something more than likely every New Yorker, more than likely, has heard once a day, especially in Harlem. So I think walking away reflecting on that is an important conversation that I hope branches out to more engagement.
I love that idea. That is really, really wonderful. And an idea, like you said, that I feel like all New Yorkers especially can relate to is Chess Ray, anything you'd like to add to that thought?
Just that this play is, I just want to affirm that how universal this play is, right? So I am an immigrant from South Africa. I grew up in Cape Town, and I've only lived in Harlem, and I've been in, New York for, over a decade. And the community room, we had one in South Africa in my neighborhood as well, right? We called it like the community hall. But it was like, we had like 60th birthdays there. There was political rallies there. I had some recreational stuff in that space. So that space might look somewhat institutional, but on the inside of that space, I have so many really great memories of our community hall and my grandmother coming there and, with her sisters and having a gathering there. So it is really a universal concept that we, these institutional spaces, we really use it and make it a center of like a gathering space. And when we gather, okay? And so this play, I think, touches on something I found so universal and so special that we create beauty no matter what places we live in.
That is so lovely. And I want to snowball off of that into my final question for this first part, which is who do you hope have access to Push Party? And Chesare, I would like to start with you first on that, if I may.
Yeah, I would say, okay, so I think women's rights or femmes' rights are like everyone's rights. And I think I want to start just by saying, I think when we talk about like maternal health and motherhood and friendship and sisterhood, I think there's such universal themes. So I'm going to start off by saying I think everyone should come and see this play. I think there's something very unusual in this messaging that you don't typically see right now in the theater landscape. And so I would start just by saying, like, all the girlies should pull up. Also, maternal health is about, people with uteruses, and that can look in lots of different ways. And so I think we would love for people who either engage with or who live in this world of like maternal health and the politics of it. We would love for groups of friends to come and see it, and so that they can see themselves hopefully reflected in the love that these friends have for each other. I'm hoping that the pastor will come with the whole deacon squad. Everyone should really come, but more specifically, I'm hoping that communities like people who gather people who gather in specific spaces, that they come, like people who go to a community center themselves, or people who go to church together, or people who go to a restaurant together. I hope that those groups of people come as well, because it's an ensemble piece fundamentally, and I think that means it's really about connection, and that is, I think, we can find that anywhere and everywhere, hopefully.
That is such a wonderful answer. Nia, anything you'd like to add to that?
I think I'll add, if you've been in a community room, come see it.
Second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brains, if you will. And I would love to start by asking our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Cesare, can I start with you first on that, please?
I don't even want to name specific names, but I'm going to just tell you philosophically what I really love and support in terms of storytelling. I love when we get to see marginalized stories on Broadway and off Broadway. And that could be lots of different communities. Fundamentally, I'm really curious and I'm really invested in seeing stories that are not part of the mainstream, canon of work out there. So any stories that really speaks to that kind of marginal experience, I'm there. I'm getting a ticket and I'm gonna go see it. And that also means just supporting, Black and Brown actors, BIPOC actors and directors, supporting, being part of the LGBTQI plus movement in the industry and making sure that we're advocating for inclusivity on all the levels, So, Yani, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think what is that I hope to experience more of is multilingual plays. And like let's get those continuing to maybe get more mainstream because they're here. And that's something I'd love to offer in this moment. And in terms of what theater experiences or theater that has inspired me. It's interesting because you can see a play like let's say 15 years ago and then see the same play and you're like, "Huh." And or it like, "Oh, that wasn't what I thought it was, but it was the thing that kept me in the theater." Or you can say, "Oh yeah, that's it. That's it every single time." And so I've had both experiences. The plays that keep me or have kept me in the theater, I mean, oh gosh, that one, there were so many answers to that question, and I feel like I respect so many people that I don't want to just single out folk, but I mean, Alice Childress will always remain on that list for me, I think, and tons more Black women. And yeah, I think I second what Chesray said in terms of what is inspiring me and what continues to inspire me. But I think artists who are just writing plays inspire me, and readings inspire me, and workshops inspire me just to see people trying and having the access to put themselves out there, site-specific work, work that is outside in the summer, that is always great. And you can eat, you can bring food outside, and it's your food. You don't gotta buy the food at the place outside. You could just bring your own food. That stuff inspires me. Yeah, I think I didn't answer your question, but I think I did offer something.
No, both of you, those were great answers. I love those ideas, those thoughts. I am completely on the same page as you. That's wonderful. Let me ask the two of you now, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Nia, may I start with you first on this, please?
That's a lovely question. My favorite part about working in the theater, I think when collaborators find meanings and metaphors and me in the work and also put their own spin on it, but especially when they find a metaphor that I had no idea was in it, either maybe I subconsciously put it in or I just didn't know. And they knew. Those surprises are so lovely. And I think that when you feel like you're in a room where everyone respects one another and trusts one another, is in the rooms that I feel like I can be my full self, but full self also meaning that I give everyone that same respect and I give everyone that same grace and kindness. I think that goes a long way in these processes that are so long sometimes, even though they're so short, but like it can feel so long in a rehearsal process or during a reading series or during a workshop. But when everyone in the room kind of trusts each other coming in, or trust is established, and
That's
when
right.
you f yeah, when you feel it and trust is earned, that's when I feel like I can have a great time in this process, and it motivates me to stay in it for sure.
I love that answer. That is so wonderful. Chess Ray, what about you? What is your favorite part?
I would say as a director or an artist, I love working in teams like I have right now, with Nia and the Hearth. And shout out to Julia Crea, our producer from the Hearth, who I, working with Julia, it's like, having an ally who really listens to the ensemble and the creative team, who leans in with a lot of softness and grace, and the question is always on Julia's part, like, how can I help? How can I support? Like, that excites me. Like, the industry is shifting right now, the storytelling industry, and we want more producers like Julia. We want more producers that sit at the table and really are able to say, like, what does this team need? Real for real, like let's talk about it, and being able to meet those needs, having worked like on a Broadway production, that can kind of get lost sometimes, right? So that's I think is one of the things I'm really excited about. Also, the creative team that we have for this show and some of the other teams I've worked with on other shows, when there's trust, love, and grace in the room, beautiful stories come out of that. And this means that you don't walk out of a production where you are traumatized, baby. Matter of fact, you walk out of it with your creative cup feeling filled and feeling like you are doing the right work and that you're in the right place and that you're telling the right story. Like that, okay? Like that is really what excites me. And then the flip side, as an audience member, I love dressing up, putting on my red lipstick, going to have a nice cocktail, and then going to see a theater show. There's nothing like going to see a theater show and going with friends. So I'm also a very passionate audience member, I would say. And I always love that part of it.
Yeah, like Julia is the one, like the Hearth. Yeah, it's a dream team. Cesare is the dream director. Anybody who's listening who wants a director, plugging that moment right now.
Nia. Okay, y'all, hire me.
That's Yes.
such a super answer. I love it. And it now leads to my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, I have so many, but one that always stays with me is I did some devising work in a township in South Africa in Cape Town, and those students really love with music, like inside of their, like it's part of their language, right? So I said to the ensemble, I'm like, listen, you guys, we need an opening number that feels like welcoming, high energy. Can y'all like think about something and just work on something? And I go off, I could get some coffee. I come back, and they have created like a six-part harmony for the entrance of the show. And these were all like young people between like ages of 12 and like 18. And the music that they came up with was such a light for me. And I think about how theater can be spontaneous, about how theater can just be with the right like ensemble. Like it was just, yeah, that moment stays with me because I was thrown aback by just the genius nature of our creativity and how deep it is to our core. Yeah, that's one of my memories. What about you, Nia?
I think, I don't know, I think I might be in one in terms of like my students, my 12th graders. I teach voice and speech,
How's
and
that going, actually?
it is okay. A lot of right now it's college decision time, and so a lot of them are stressed. Sorry if you hear my neighbor's apartment, but yeah, it's because they're learning about college decisions or choosing not to go to college or just navigating future and also relationships. Like, are they gonna stay in a relationship and go to college together? Or like, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on in 12th grade right now. But one of the things that their final assignment is this kind of voiceover project. And voiceover, and they can be as creative as they want to. And I'm finding that they are so inspiring. They're just having fun. They're talking about fun issues. A lot of them are interested in reality TV, and I appreciate that. So I think
Some good content. That's gonna be some good content.
yeah, so I think their minds are so inspiring. And I think one of my first experiences of the theater, my parents took me to. So that is definitely something I will cherish. Yeah. I think those are my two things. What show it was, I couldn't tell you many years ago. But yeah.
We always remember our first theater experience. Like, that's like a moment.
Yes.
I love those memories. Those are so fantastic. I could listen to your thoughts and philosophies on the theater all day. This is so wonderful. But thank you both for sharing those great memories. I really appreciate that. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
Okay, so I have a play going up at Theatre 503 in the UK, London to be specific. We start previews May 14th and we close on June 1st. And so that is one of my plugs. Also at Ensemble Studio Theatre on June 23rd, I think, or it's in the late 20s. I have a Blood Works reading. It's under Ensemble Studio Theater, and that happens in June. And I think I'm excited to pursue further education. I'm getting my MFA in playwriting, or at least I'll be a playwriting candidate at Yale School of Drama. Excuse me, David Geffen School of Drama at Yale. There we
You better
go.
say it. You better say it.
And so I'm excited. I think we'll have a lot of play things coming up in the next year or so. So I have not gotten the degree. I'm a candidate, which means I do not have the degree yet, but that is something I'll be pursuing this fall.
That is amazing. Congratulations in advance. This is exciting. Chess right for you.
Well, that's congratulations, Nia. We all are very excited about your Yale journey, your Yale drama journey. So I'm there to support. Okay, on my end, I'm working on a play called The Bio. It's with Rattlestick, and it's a workshop. And we have that final showcase, I think May 19th. So that's really amazing. I'm working with the workshop theater on a musical called Bricks, and it's a hip hop funk intergenerational play about ancestors intervening into the lives of their descendants or people who is part of their lineage. So that is happening in July. And then we have a Juneteenth show at 54 Below, also with Bricks the Musical. And that is a quick little like snippet of the music that we have in the musical.
Amazing. Amazing. So some wonderful things that are coming on the pipeline for both of you that we need to keep our finger on. So that leads to my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Push Party or about either of you, perhaps you'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
People can always find me on Instagram. It's Chesray Blue, and that is Chesray Blue, the color, and that's my name on Instagram, and that's a good way to reach me. What about you, Nia?
I will say that I do have an Instagram. It's at NIAAKILAH 1_, but also because I download and redownload and get rid of and I'm like deactivated sometimes, you can also find me at my email, which is NiaAkilaRobinson@gmail.com. You may there's come through with whatever. As long as it's kind,
Yes.
please.
Yeah, I should do that too, actually. So my name and my last name is at Gmail. It's also another email because I also sometimes like take a social media break. So that's a good plug, Nia. Cheersredoffer@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, Nia Chesray, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing this wonderful piece of theater and all of your thoughts as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you
Thank
so much, babe.
you.
It was so much fun. This was really so much fun to talk about the play, Nia. I
And
loved it.
thank you. Yeah, me too. I had a great time. And thank you for this opportunity. This means the world.
It
It does.
you. My guests today have been the playwright Nia Akila Robinson and the director Chesray Dofa, who joined us to talk about their upcoming world premiere of The Push Party, which is being presented by The Hearth. It's playing June 7th through the 23rd at Theater Lab, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting theaterlabnyc.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our social media posts as well as on our episode description. But make sure you get out now, get your tickets for this fabulous world premiere. Head over to theaterlabnyc.com, get your tickets for Push Party, playing June 7th through the 23rd. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies.
And keep talking about the theater.
In his name, Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.